Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alum. Today, we're in part 65 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. If you'd like to have a copy of this tape, we show you four different ways on how you can receive it. And if you like the tape, it's free of charge. And if you need a Bible, it's free of charge. I should be charging for these tapes because then people would appreciate them more. I have all these spiritual people in the country saying you should charge for them because they take your tapes that they're not worth anything if you let them have it for free. And so I said, well, yeah, but there's a lot of people that can't afford to send anything at all, and I just hate making merchandise of the gospel. But they said, but your tapes are more valuable than anybody else's. And I said, well, if I was down the street down there and offering $100 bills, a lot of people, a tray full of $100 bills, maybe a lot of people wouldn't take them either. Because they think there's something, up my sleeve or something to that effect. Satan puts all kinds of ideas in people's minds. But anyway, if you'd like to have a copy of this tape, my literature, the Messiah book, a Bible, you can, so far as the tape or the CD is concerned, it's program number 167. 167, in four different ways of how to receive it. Just please specify if you want a tape or a CD. Now we have some letters here also, and as I said, another message of how to have God's life living in you. Okay, but right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint inwardly and outwardly. Anoint me outwardly, Lord, to bring forth Your voice through me. Lord, I despise saying anything of myself. I don't want to say anything of myself. I remember in Your word where Jesus said, the words that I speak are not mine own, but it's the Father that's speaking through me. And I want to be just like that, Lord, where it's just no one but You talking through me. Then it's a work of the Lord. A work of the Lord. And I can tell when You're talking through somebody, Lord, and I know that, and I can really tell when You're not speaking through people. Well, it's such a pleasure to hear people that are anointed by You, that are, and I can hear Your voice through them. These are consecrated people, people that are wired to You, Lord. They stay seeking Your face day and night. Praise the Lord. Lord, I ask that You do this because I want souls, and I know You want souls saved. And I know that You want the church uplifted, strengthened, given more power, which the King James Version calls grace. But it's Your power is grace. This is grace, in other words, power from Your throne, from You. You are the power. You came into this world bringing forth power and truth. Grace and truth. Power, that's You came in, giving us power over the devil. And how do we have power, Father? You told me that to bind Satan on earth so that You bind him in heaven is that You... that we just have to expose Satan. That is what binds him. What a revelation. It's amazing that people are not more shocked by that revelation. People are so careful to not say bad things about people. The only ones that don't care whether they say bad things about people or to expose people in the wrong way is the government. The government brings false accusations against people. The Vatican brings tells them to do that, and they do because they're the puppets of the Vatican. And the media does the same thing, but they really say you should never talk about, expose them, because the things they're saying are false, and the things that You want us to bind them with are the truth. And when I was telling these truths, Father, years ago, I know You know that now all these things are being brought out. 41 years ago, we were telling the truth about the Vatican, the world government, and the media, and look at everybody. There's, I would say, at least 1/4 of the world population knows this to be the truth, that I'm preaching the truth, that I've told them the truth in the past. And Lord, let it ring true this evening in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Laiza, Puerto Rico.
Laiza, Puerto Rico. Are you familiar with Laiza? No, we have a Puerto Rican here. And they don't know about Laiza. Okay, then what? Well, they know about San Juan, right? Everybody knows that. Then what?
Hello, Brother Tony Lamo. I hope when you receive this letter that the grace of God will fill you each day with more and more of His power. I belong to an evangelical church. I preach and distribute literature. I read your literature, and I'm interested in distributing it to the souls who do not yet know the Lord.
Praise the Lord in Puerto Rico. Isn't that great?
Yes.
This man sounds on fire for the Lord. Then what?
That is why I am asking for copies of your literature. Also, please continue to pray for me to keep on going. May the Lord bless you, your sister in Christ, Nadia.
Oh, it's a sister, okay. Nadia?
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Oh, right. And then where's the next letter from?
From Roanoke, Virginia.
All right.
Dear Mr. Lamo, for years now I have felt so distraught, so lost in a world also lost, without the power of the Lord in their hearts. At times I feel surrounded by wolves in sheep's clothing, so to speak. Your literature reassured me, put me at ease, knowing that God is using you as a messenger to spread the word. I have never felt this way before. Before, I viewed the Bible as merely words on a paper without meaning or substance. It's a feeling so empty and desperate. Now I see. I would like to join
you. The reason for that was because the people that were teaching her by the letter, and the letter kills, the Lord said. But those that are with the Spirit in them, and it's the Lord speaking through them, that brings forth life. The Lord is the one. The Spirit of God in a person is the one that brings forth life. And that's why she recognizes the difference than sitting in a dead church, one that the people that are preaching in there are not born of the Spirit yet. And the Bible says that we have to be born of water and of Spirit. When we get born the first time, we're born of water. Amen?
Amen.
So when you come into the Word, you're born of water. And then when you're born of the Spirit, that's a whole different thing. Amen?
Amen.
Because no one can get into the kingdom of heaven by just being born of water, right?
Right.
But we get into the kingdom of heaven by being spiritual, because the kingdom of heaven is the spiritual kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, then next.
I would like to join your cause. Thank you so much. Because of you, I want to grow in Christ. Could you please send me more literature? Your message is so bold and fresh. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Tony. God bless anyone that has ears to listen. Signed, Desiree from Roanoke, Virginia.
All right, and praise the Lord for you, Desiree. The Lord blesses you because you listen. You have listening ears, and God bless you. All right, and then anything else?
And the next letter is from Uganda, Africa.
And I know the Lord has blessed her. Amen?
Amen.
All these people, I know the Lord is blessing them. This is from Uganda?
Yes.
All right, let's hear what they have to say. We get a lot of letters from Uganda. Go ahead.
Dear World Pastor Tony Lamo, holy greetings in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us much in this spiritual life. We have received 6 Bibles, 3 Messiah books, and newsletters. The newsletters are greatly changing lives in my nation, Uganda. The anointing on this paper is so great, for it has marvelously brought many souls to Christ. 960 people confessed and received Christ as Savior through your literature.
Praise the Lord. You know, I always feared going to Africa. Well, I don't want to go to Africa. No, I want to go, man. There's so many born-again Christians over there. Amen?
Amen.
I'd love to go there. You have to stay here, though, okay? All right, then what?
The literature you sent us is over, and we urgently need the following literature. And he listed 28 different pieces of literature he's requesting.
Okay.
About the T-shirts and sweatshirts, which you promised.
Let me hear some of the pieces of literature that they want to get.
20 copies of the Messiah, Pastor Lamo's testimony tracts, Broken to Pieces, Flying Saucers are End Time Prophecy, The Servant of the Lord, Dry Bones, Earthquake.
Now, Flying Saucers are End Time Prophecies. These are, every time the Lord has something going on, Satan imitates it and make it look like it's ridiculous. like these visions that people are receiving, that people from Mars or something like that. No, the ones that I actually saw, Susie and I saw them at the same time, are angels that are surveying the earth just before the Lord destroys it. These are heavenly beings. There's no life on any other planet. And we've been saying that. Susie's been saying it 25 years before I ever did, because the Lord showed her. And then I learned that from her. And I've noticed down through the years they keep finding these planets, but there's nothing on them. Okay? Moon dust, and now Mars and all these other places. There's nothing there. So don't worry about the Martians. Fear the Lord and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Okay, and what else does this person say?
Do you want to keep reading the literature he's requesting?
Yes.
Satan's one world government says we can be innocent and still be on death row. Our actual innocence does not matter to Rome. Assurance, free, holiness, the sin of unbelief, hearing God's prompting, your way, troubles, prosperity, the incarnation, Satan's secret agents, thanks, hope for the hopeless, light, Antichrist unmasked, be healed, spiritual war, the Pope's secrets, who is the most dangerous cult. Tony Lamo is right, says Avro Manhattan. And
Avro Manhattan is one of my very favorite authors. He passed away a few years ago, but when I wrote Pope's Secrets, he sent me a telegram saying, bravo. He is one of the most proficient in describing the how horrible the Roman Catholic church or cult is. It's the actual place where Satan sits. That's his home office, and he is connected with all the other antichrists in the world, and the antichrist puppets that do his bidding, all the Pope's biddings, and then also the news media. So the government is the beast that the cult leader, this Pope, the head of the Antichrist, supposed to be church, with its hundreds of millions of followers, and the news media that is the mouth of Satan. There's the Bible says this satanic cult and government would be given a mouth from Satan, and it would be Satan's mouth backing up all the things that the government is doing and that this cult is doing in Rome. And everybody keeps Rome likes to choose leaders that are crazy, and they do crazy things to get their mind off of Rome. The only defense that Rome has is to hide. That's why they have all these secret agencies. The CIA, the FBI now, the BATF, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and all these other government agents. They're all, and the Jesuits, the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, all these different orders that are secret. The only time that that organization or Satan is bound is when you expose it. That's why she hides. The Vatican, the government, and the media are like chameleons or chameleons, however you want to pronounce it. They run through the grass when they're being exposed, and if it lands on something red, it turns red to hide. Or if it lands on something green, it turns green. You can put that thing on something pink and it turns pink. The devil is insidious. He's a deceiver, and he cloaks himself in the garb of religion. He cloaks himself in the garb of government, because no one dares come against government. The Bible says, who is able to make war against the beast? This one world powerful beast, this one world government that the Vatican rides on like it's a horse, that enforces every evil thing that the Vatican tells it to do, and that it commands that the media exalts the Pope, or else we'll tear your tower down. will take your FCC license away from you. We're in charge of FCC. Now, don't you say anything good or bad about Tony Alamo, because when I was doing interviews for years on radio, I was literally pulling them down, literally from limb to limb, exposing them. And so it is now, according to Satan, a sin for them to even mention my name on television or radio or in the media at all. And once in a while somebody forgets, you know, and they do it, and I'm sure, and there's something terrible happens, like my brother had a radio interview show in Nashville, Tennessee, and they called him up and threatened him. They didn't know, I guess, that he was my brother. They said, either stop talking about him, stop doing interviews with him, or we'll tear your tower down. They kept it up, and they tore the tower down. And the radio station is no longer on the air. So I've exposed them enough now to where they're, I think, afraid to tell other radio stations this, and other television stations about that. But the television stations have codes now made up by the Vatican to where you can't say anything negative on the programs. That's why you see all these wimpy type religious programs and so on. You're not going to get the truth there. Listen to the truth from my program while it's still on the air, because there's a strong chance, unless God provides a way for me to stay on, that you may not hear it again. So cling to the truth. Cling to the things that I'm telling you, because they're the truth. Okay, finish off with this.
We also need Tony Alamo cassette tapes about the T-shirts and sweatshirts.
We have all these things. We're going to send it to them. Amen.
Yes.
Load these people up with everything. Okay, and now they want the T-shirt and sweatshirts.
Yes.
In Africa, it gets so hot that you don't really need a sweatshirt, I don't think. I've never been there, but I think mainly you would need a T-shirt, because they say it gets pretty hot there. All right? Yeah, I used to see the Tarzan movies. I found out that that's not Africa, it was in South America. Everybody gets the wrong message on that, too. Okay, then what?
Send large and extra large 20 copies for the team of distributors, and small and medium 4 copies for my family. Pastor, I am requesting you to send to me a camera for the ministry, so that as we distribute the literature and baptize, we can take photographs and send them to you, so that we can all rejoice in the Lord.
Sure, we'll put them in our newsletters too. What you do is we'll send you a camera and some film, but if it's hard for you to develop it over there, what we'll do is just send the roll over here to us, and then we'll develop it for you and make copies to put in the newsletter, and then also copies for yourself, and we'll send you the money for it. Okay, and we'll just send it from here also. Either way, then what?
Think of the above 960 people who received Christ through your literature. You must see all those faces. You must see our team distributing literature on the streets, vehicles, bus parks, and house to house daily. Send to us 20 more Bibles, that is for the distribution team. We are earnestly praying for your outreach services. Please be kind and pray for my services and all the believers at our congregation. Please accept me as your co-worker and help me to promote this ministry with these needs for the ministry. I have approached you for your kind help, your associate in Christ, Pastor Joseph from Bale, Uganda, Africa.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless them in every way, and build a hedge of fire around them. Lord, we pray that you do this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And all the people that are distributors, and all the people that are in the church, and those, Lord, that we've been witnessing to that hate us, and that we offer a place to stay, a place for them to eat and sleep and have food and water. Lord, bring coals of fire down on their heads for hating us, for bringing eternal life to their footsteps, right to their door, right to their heart, and they reject it. You said to pray for them and that you would pour coals of fire on their head if they don't receive it. All right, anything else?
One more letter from Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Okay.
It's a card, thinking of you during Passover. Dear brother and sisters of the church, thank you for assisting us while we visited your church services. Let us continue to pray for Israel and for the salvation of lost souls throughout the world.
Passover, so they're saying Passover because they're Jews. And we help them, and we also help Catholics that need help. It doesn't make any difference if you're a Buddhist or a Catholic, a Methodist, a Protestant, or a Presbyterian, or if you belong to Paramahansa Yogananda's place or any place. You're a human being. You were created by God. Doesn't matter what color you are. We're going to help you if you need help, because we want to show you the Lord's, if you're even a Muslim, you know. And we win a lot of Muslims because we're kind to them and we preach the gospel to them. And, you know, we're not against anybody. We're bringing life to you. We're against sin, but we're not against sinner. We want you to receive the gospel. You know, I was watching this Warmack on the TV today because he was telling me that you can sin, you can commit adultery, fornication, you will not go to hell for that. You will not go to hell for being a lesbian. You will not go to hell for being a prostitute. All you need to do is just accept Jesus. That means just say that you accept Jesus. Just say a little prayer and that's it. And the Lord died for all your sins before and after. This man, do not listen to him. I thought he had brought a couple of good messages, but this man is one of the most outlandish, demon-possessed people I have ever heard to just come out of the closet like he has. Andrew Warmack. And Andrew, sue me, okay? But if I have a copy of your tape, I'll play it for people all over the world to show what a heretic you are. I thought you were pretty good. I've liked a couple of your messages. But you're just trying to, I don't know what your scene is. You don't know the gospel. He said that preaching, you know, if you don't sin, you're going to go to the lake of fire. He says, you can't win people's souls that way. He says, that's not the love of the gospel. That isn't the good news. You think that's good news to tell people that they go to hell if they don't stop sinning? Yes, I do, Andrew. I believe that it's better to tell the truth, because if they don't stop sinning, they will go to hell. And that's what the Bible says. You ought to read it once in a while. You ought to read it at least once so that you can know what the Bible says. The Bible says that he that sinneth is of the devil. And the Lord forgave our former sins, but he tells us to go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to us. And he said that the worst thing would be that there remains no more forgiveness for you. That means that you'd for sure go to the lake of fire. My God, that really shocked me to hear you say that, Mr. Warmack. All right? Now, I always told people, hey, that's a good message that a person brings. When that's a good message, I say it. But if you're saying something wrong, the Lord tells me to tear down every power and principality of darkness that exalts itself over the Word of God. Anyone that preaching any other gospel than the gospel, the gospel means the truth. He says, well, it means good news. Well, the good news is that there's somebody on this earth now telling you how you would go to hell if you wanted to, and how you can stay out of hell if you want to. And that, the Bible says, the straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. You cannot sin. It's a straight line. But if you do sin, there's 150 million different ways. You know, 31 flavors has got 31 different ice creams that you can eat. But Satan has millions of different ways you can go to hell. And one of them is to preach the false doctrine that you're preaching. Andrew Warmack, unless you repent, and some of your other cohorts on television, you're going to be in the lake of fire. I don't know what you are up there preaching for and asking for people money so that you can repeat these same sort of messages. You're horrible, man. You're horrible. Okay, then what?
Dear brothers and sisters of the church, thank you for assisting us while we visited your church services. Let us continue to pray for Israel and for the salvation of lost souls throughout the world.
Yeah, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible tells us. and the peace of Jerusalem. We have now the new Jerusalem, and we pray for the people of Israel as well, because they're God's chosen people. Amen?
Amen.
And we that are born again Christians, born of water, now that we were born in this world and we're now born of the Spirit, praise the Lord. We're now the new Jerusalem. Amen. Pray for us too. Amen. Don't forget to pray for the ones that the Lord is using in these last days. Okay, then what?
Thank you for your hospitality. Shalom, yours in Christ, Teresa and Corey.
Shalom, shalom. Praise the Lord. I'm also Jewish, but I'm a Hebrew Christian now for the past 41 and a half years. Okay, now what else? Okay, now Sharon, come on, let's get busy here with part 65 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is something I wrote up yesterday and today. Spent a lot of hours studying this, so I hope you appreciate it. Make sure that you listen closely, because it's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
We've gotten to the place now where every time you turn on the television, it's just something that vexes you so much, because all you see on there is sex. It doesn't make any difference if you're watching a commercial or trying to find something that's of any value on television. You get so tired of looking at people's naked behinds. Their cameras are always focused on people's rear ends.
Yeah, with clothing, they're walking down the street, and like, you know, why don't they take a picture of their faces? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, is that how you get married? You look at somebody's rear end, their bottom? Yeah, I think I could live with that. Okay. Yeah, let's marry you. But you have to talk to the face in order to get a response, right? All right. Then what?
It should make any person that really knows the Lord ill. Our days, the days that we're living in right now, have become exactly like the days of Noah. I hope you people in Radioland are listening to me. The people of this world today don't care any more than they did during the time of Noah. They just don't care.
They don't care about their souls. They don't care about the souls of their loved ones. They don't care that we're standing right at the end of time. Because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the society that we're living in the last days. And so we take a check, or we take a point, checkpoint, and we make a list here saying, okay, here's what happened in the days of Noah. And this made God angry, and he destroyed the whole world with water. And then he says, so as it's going to be just before I destroy the world with fire. Firepower. Firepower is in every atom. Everything in the universe is made out of atoms, and there's firepower in each atom. They make the atomic bomb by splitting the atom. And every one of us, and the dirt to the ground, everything that we can see and that we can't see is made of atoms. The Bible tells us that the things that we see are made out of things that we can't see. And they're made by the one that you don't see really unless he appears in front of you. So there's firepower in each atom. The water's made out of atoms. Your body's made out of atoms. And when the Lord ignites the entire world, these atoms that have firepower in them, that may have atomic power in them, will immediately burst into flames, and everything that is made of atoms will burst into flames. It'll be a chain reaction that'll burn the very elements. The Bible says it'll melt even the dirt. That's how bad it's going to be. And so Noah preached for 120 years and nobody believed him, and they're just laughing at him and mocking at him and scoffing at him. And we can tell that people today are mocking at the Lord's word because they're not paying any attention to it. On the masses are not. The masses are mocking God, because when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, that's mocking God. And you're scoffing him. You're snickering at the people that are preaching the gospel. Let me tell you something. You will not be snickering in hell. Yeah, I look sometimes into congregation and I see people writing notes and pass them to each other. You will not be sending notes one to another in the pit of hell and in the lake of fire, because there won't be any paper that could exist down there, because it would go into flames the minute that a little shred of it would come into the lake of fire. and there's no pencils, and you won't be thinking about passing notes there, or snickering, or laughing, or joking, or mocking, or thumbing your nose at God. It'll be too late for you then. Okay, let's continue here.
I was just listening to a broadcast by Andrew Womack. He has a ministry in Denver, Colorado. He was telling people that the Lord doesn't send you to hell for sin because the Lord paid for your sin. All you have to do is just accept the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to inform Mr. Womack that the Lord Jesus Christ just happens to be the Word of God come in the flesh. And the Word of God does say that the Lord does forgive you of your sins if you repent of your sins.
Your former sins is what he's talking about. But he says, now go and sin no more, unless the worst thing happen unto you. Okay, then what?
But it also states, quote, he that committed sin is of the devil, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible plainly states that Andrew Womack is desperately wrong. That's the trouble with the world today, is that we've had these supposed-to-be preachers telling people these things. I've heard some good messages that Mr. Womack has preached. However, this is the worst thing I've ever heard on television coming out of the mouth of a supposed-to-be preacher, that you don't have to worry about sinning because you're going to sin and sin, and the Lord has forgiven us for all of our sins.
Oh, that is very sick. Don't listen to him or you'll be in hell with him. Okay, then what else?
He says all you've got to do is just accept Jesus. Now, Mr. Womack, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ means that you have to accept the entire Word of God. And the Bible says, quote, he that committeth sin is of the devil, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Mr. Womack says that you're not going to win anybody's soul by telling them you've got to repent or you're going to go to hell. That's the entire gospel. He said that isn't good news. The good news is that we have the Word of God that tells us that we have to walk the straight and narrow.
He says the good news is that you don't have to worry about sin anymore. You can sin all you want. Do you think that Christ died on the cross and shed his precious blood and went through all the misery that he did so that you could sin some more?
No.
Absolutely not. I mean, anybody that would say such a thing or believe such a thing is, they are deliberately ignorant. They are willingly ignorant. They want to believe such a thing like that because they have sin-loving hearts. They don't want to do anything but sin. They love it, and as soon as a message like this is over with, they want to just go and sin some more because they just say, as long as the Lord says he hasn't come all these years, he hasn't come back, and he's not going to come back, and the devil keeps saying, it's all right, sin. Don't worry about it. Thou shalt not surely die. That's what it's same message that he gave to Eve. But, you know, Eve did die. And everybody on this earth is going to die unless you're standing here and you're saved at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't believe these people. They're totally the opposite of the Bible. The Bible, or the law, the moral law of God always condemns sin. Condemn means that your soul is condemned to hell, especially after you've been born again of the Spirit. You become spiritual, and then you think that you can sin after you have been washed in the blood of Jesus and filled with his Spirit. You are dead wrong. Okay, then what else?
The good news is that we have the Word of God that tells us that we have to walk the straight and narrow. And if we don't, we're going to wind up in not only hell, but death and hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire.
That's what the Bible says. Then what?
So God did judge Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's going to judge America. Now, if America...
And he's going to judge the whole world. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, you know, I heard one good thing that Billy Graham said. He said, you know, he preaches about the same message all the time, but he doesn't preach against sin. He's the same kind of message that Womack, Mr. Womack preaches. But he did say one thing. He said that if God would doesn't condemn America or the world, he didn't say the world, but I'm saying it, he says that he'd have to raise Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, up and apologize to them. I thought that was very good that Billy Graham said that. That's one good thing that you said, Billy. Okay, and then what?
Now, if America is doing the same thing that Sodom and Gomorrah was doing, then God's going to destroy America. Andrew Womack will say, that's not good news.
No, and so how do you think that you're going to win any soul by telling them the truth, Mr. Womack says? Well, I've won quite a few of them. You can hear these letters where 900 and some people in this one place got saved, 1,000 over at another place, 500 here, 10 here, 20 here, and 30 there, and so on. And all over the world it's happening that way every day of the week. Yes, I believe that souls get saved when you hear the truth, when they hear the truth. Because the truth, when you know it, it'll set you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Word of God is Jesus. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word came to the world as a man. And this man was Jesus. And so Jesus is God. He's the Word. And he says, believe on the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. When he's saying, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, it's the same thing as him saying, believe on the Word of God, the whole Word of God. Like man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God. And anyone that tries to change that doctrine, the Bible says, is accursed. And Andrew Womack, you're accursed. And I want you to know that before you die, so in hopes that you can repent and confess to your congregation that you're a liar. Okay, because anyone that states anything other than the Word of God is a liar. All right, when you're preaching the gospel, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Andrew Womack will say, you're not preaching good news.
Oh, well, it's not good news to you, to him. He's a sinner, I reckon. It's not good news to him. The real gospel is not good news to Mr. Womack or Mr. Graham, because they believe, they don't know, and what's this other guy, Joel Osteen, who says he doesn't know whether the devil's going to hell or if homosexuals are going to hell. Well, man, what's the matter with you guys? I thought you were, you got huge congregations. Don't you know that you're going to be accountable for each one of those souls when they go to hell? You'll be going to a worse place in hell than they are. And you people, especially you, Billy Graham, you're old. You've got one foot in the grave and the other one on a, in the funeral home. Okay, now what else?
The good news is the Word of God, that we have the Word of God that tells us that if we walk the straight and narrow, and if we keep the Lord's commandments by having the Spirit of God living in us and through us, well, then we're going to go to heaven. But if we don't, then we're certainly going to go to hell. Now, if God will not judge the world the way he did Sodom and Gomorrah, then he's going to have to raise up the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them.
Yeah, that's what Billy Graham said, and his daughter, too. And Billy Graham's daughter's name, I believe, is Ann Graham. And then what else?
This is a statement that had been made before, but I'm just using it in this particular message. No wonder Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also at the end of the world. Luke chapter 17, verse 26. If people are living the same way they did during the time of Noah, if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it angered him to the point in the way they were living then, and we're living the same way, well then God is going to destroy us now.
Andrew, but take me out of the us, okay, because I'm going to keep God's commandments, amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell people the truth. So he's going to destroy the people of the world. But the Bible says that we who are doing the will of the Lord, that are walking in the Spirit of the Lord, so that we can be blessed. We can be blessed, blessed that enter the kingdom of heaven, and blessed right here on earth with life and life more abundantly here on earth and forevermore in heaven. Okay, then what?
If God is the same yesterday and today and forever, and it angered him to the point in the way that we're living then, and we're living the same way, then God is going to...
If we're living the same way today as we did then, and that's what's happening, then what is he going to do?
God's going to destroy us now. Andrew Womack and every other of you people that are preaching, and those of you that are receiving this false doctrine. So you have to take a checkpoint. You mark the world of the past and the world that is today.
So let's put a mark on the days of Noah, and let's mark the things that are going on today. The society in Noah's day and the society in the days that we are currently living. And see if they match up so that we can tell, as the Lord says, that we'll be able to tell when things get as corrupt as they were on in the days of Noah, because the Lord cannot stomach, he can't stand the corruptness of that day and age, so he drowned them all, except Noah and his family of seven, and he's going to do the same thing. There's going to be very few enter the kingdom of God. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few there be that shall enter thereof, but broad is the way of destruction. And Satan offers you anything that you'll get your mind on other than the Lord to think about. Okay, then go ahead.
The world that was before was a world of immorality. What about the world today?
Is this the world of immorality? Yep, okay, so we check both, we put a check there, yes. And over here, yes. Okay, then what?
If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's going to judge this immoral world. He said he would, and he's not
going
to...
No, Andrew Morgan says, see, that God is adultery, fornication, homosexual. That's not going to send you to hell. What? Why did God make the moral law? Is that done away with? The Lord said, I didn't come to do away with the law or to destroy the law. I came here to show man, because I'm a man, that you can do the whole law with the Spirit of God living in you like I have. And he says, I will enter you with my Father in the Spirit, and you'll be able to keep, be more than conquerors to keep the commandments. But Charles Stanley, you reprobate, you reject of God. You're telling people that God loves you unconditionally, and that is anyone perfect in the world? No, nobody's perfect. The Bible says we can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless we're perfect. Why are you teaching people that you must be imperfect or so on, and God's still going to take you in? You reprobate. Okay, then what?
He's not going to go back on his promise. Now, a lot of these people like Mr. Womack just opened up a college, and he wants to say all sorts of smooth things to them so that they'll
to the people of the world so that they'll come and join his college, his university. Chris, supposed to be, quote, Christian university, unquote. Okay, then what?
So that they'll go to his university and send him money. He likes the fact that there's money rolling in right now, I reckon, so he has to tell smooth things or they'll leave. In the days of Noah...
Yeah, they'll leave, they'll get off the ship quick, you know, like a bunch of rats when the ship is sinking. Tell us, oh my God, we're going to burn. Goodbye, Mr. Womack. I'm out of here. Okay, but the Bible plainly says if you sin, you'll be toast. Amen?
Amen.
Repentos or tostados. Amen? Amen. Españoles. Okay, what else?
In the days of Noah, it was not only a world of immorality, which is the same thing as the world of indifference, but the crowning mark of Noah's day is that it was a world of rejection of the gospel. Some people can say it was ignorance, but they were willingly ignorant. Look at verse 39 in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse 39 says, quote, they knew not until the flood came, unquote. That doesn't mean that they didn't know what the gospel was saying.
But they just didn't know when the rain was going to come. They didn't believe it. They didn't know that it was going to come like that. But they heard the gospel, so they weren't ignorant of hearing what was going to happen. They just didn't. They shined it on. They were careless, carefree. You know, everything, it would just become a humdrum message. Man, haven't you got anything to preach after 120 years? It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Come on, give us another message, Noah. Well, it's the same thing today. We're preaching there's going to be a big fire coming. And it's coming real soon. There's a fire. You're a fireball. You're a walking, talking, breathing fireball. You're made out of atoms, man. God can split you, and those atoms in you will start on fire. Yeah, you're made out of dirt. Even the dirt is going to burn. Okay, then what?
That didn't mean that they didn't know that the Lord judges sin, but they just didn't know when the flood was coming. So it says, quote, they knew not until the flood came, unquote. They didn't know the exact time or hour. Neither do we know the exact time and hour that the Lord is going to destroy the earth. But we know it's near, because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the end of time,
so
the end
of
the world.
Is it the same? Are we immoral as they were? Huh?
Yes.
Do you think that we're a bunch of little sheep, Amen. That's just innocent little lambies down here. No. Okay, then what?
So you could say they willingly were ignorant. They were ignorant. They didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. Just like a major tsunami, the biggest tsunami that ever hit this world.
Yeah, boy, what a tsunami that was. It covered the entire earth. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody could escape except those that were on the ark. Okay, what else?
They knew the preaching of Noah. They knew that it was coming. They could have known the time if they were in the Spirit, if they were like Noah. But many preachers say they didn't, just because the world says they were ignorant as to the time of its coming. Now the reason why they should have known better is because Noah, the man of God, preached for around 120 years, and he preached one sermon over and over again. And it wasn't just on Sunday. It was the very same text, and he did it every day, the same sermon every day
of the week for 120 years. Then what?
He'd say, "People of the world, it's going to rain. There's going to be a big shower. The world is going to be flooded." So they knew from his preaching, but they thought he was an idiot, a fool. He wasn't with the times. They were having so much fun that nobody could possibly believe that there was going to be a major tsunami.
No, man, we're going to Vegas, you know, to Reno, to, you know, we got to travel the world, Spain. Let's go to Brazil, Rio, you know, the music and the food, man, it's delicious down there on Rodeo Drive, you know, over on the restaurant for, oh, come on, let's go eat. The New York, over in Chinatown, come on, Little Italy. It's too much to do, man. We don't want to hear about no flood. We don't, especially today, we don't want to hear about no fire. But it's a coming. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
They didn't know when the tsunami came any more than they did over in Indonesia. And of course it was a lot larger than Indonesia. It was the entire earth. But this tsunami, this huge flood, was being preached to them. Everyone, it's going to rain. Before this time, it never rained before. The Bible says that the earth got its moisture from the ground. The dampness would raise up and water everything. But Noah kept saying, "No, this isn't going to be this way forever. There's going to be clouds in the sky and it's going to rain."
Yeah, but there ain't no fire today, man. How's there going to be any fire, right? You're going to make this earth into a fireball. Okay, what else?
The Lord's going to open up the windows of heaven. It's going to pour down, and the fountains of the deep are going to open up and flood the entire world, and it's going to rain. So there was 120 years of this message. The world's going to be flooded, and everyone's going to drown. But they didn't listen any more than the people of today are listening, any more than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah listened. They wanted to have sexual relations with the Lord. And this infuriated God, so there was a tremendous rain of brimstone and fire. They didn't listen to it any more than the people today are listening to the gospel. God said so.
Okay, they're not listening to the message. There's going to be a fire. Amen?
Amen.
It's a coming, and it's coming soon. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days when it's going to be, when the fire is going to be. Amen?
Amen.
So it was immoral, and you all agree that today is immoral too. Amen?
Amen.
So those are two checkpoints there. Is it that way then? Check. Yes. Today? Yes. Check. Okay. Then what?
Just like the Word of God stated in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, that the world is round and nobody believed it, with the exception of the one that discovered America, Christopher Columbus.
The one that discovered it in the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
The world is round. It's like a circle. Amen. Not a flat pancake. Okay, then what?
His records show that the man really was Jewish. So it says in chapter 24, verse 39, that the people didn't know till the flood came. They just didn't believe, so therefore they didn't receive and they didn't know. And there was somebody telling them all the time. And the flood took them all away. So the world that was before the flood was created by God. It was a created world. But, number two, it was a corrupted world. Then, thirdly, it was a condemned world.
And it was, fourthly, it was a destroyed world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It was a world that God destroyed, everyone that was living, with the exception of Noah and his family. The scripture that I had read yesterday was from 2 Peter chapter 3. Looking back at verse 6, quote, "whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." That means they all died and went to hell. So then the past world was destroyed by water, and the present world, it's the promise of God, that it's going to be destroyed by fire. Now hopefully you've seen everything that God has shown you through me. The second thing that I'd love for you to see is about the present world that we're living in. This present world God wants you to see is destined for fire.
That's the destiny of this world, is condemned. Then what?
That's what God wants you to see. The present world, the one that we presently are living in, is destined for fire. But God showed Noah a rainbow, a sign, a picture, that the Lord would no longer destroy the world by water. But he says the next time it will be by fire. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 states, quote, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now..."
Which are right now, the present day that we're living in, then what?
"By the same word, by the same God, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Unquote.
Now, you've got to listen to that word store. It's stored up. The world is stored up for fire, because fire is stored in every atom in this world, in the universe. Okay, then what?
So this present world that we're living in, the destiny of it is a fire so hot, so fervent, that it will melt the very elements. Hopefully we're going to win a lot of souls out of the world, but the Lord really wants the church to receive the destiny of this present world that we're living in, that it's definitely going to be destroyed by fire.
Why does he want the church to know? So that the church will go out and tell the others, the unsaved, if you have mercy. If you don't have mercy, then you're not going to receive any mercy at the judgment bar of God. Okay, then what?
Remember the different marks that we can mark as the world of the past, where it was a world of indifference. It was a world of immorality, a world of, some people call it ignorance, because they didn't know exactly when the time would come.
Indifference means you don't care, you know, you just want to have fun, fun, fun. Okay, then what?
And the people of this world, the Lord is keeping them in ignorance also. He wants people to study the Word so that they know the signs and the seasons of the coming of the destruction of this world by fire. And God wants you to see now the marks of the present world. So he has in his word that the first mark from the present world is that it is a scoffing world, a mocking world. The world scoffing and mocking means that they're laughing at the gospel. They're mocking God because many of them say, "Oh, we love you, Lord, we're going to serve you," but they don't serve him.
They don't do what he says. That's mockery. Okay, because like the three wise men told the King Herod that they were going to come back and he didn't, so that was mocking him. And people say, "Yeah, I'm going to serve you, Lord," and then they don't. That's mocking the Lord, thumbing your nose at him. Okay? Know this, that in the last days there shall come mockers, scoffers. Amen?
Amen.
They're not going to be scoffing or laughing or giggling in hell. Then what?
They don't do what he says because of preachers like Andrew Womack who say, "God has already done everything. There's no work for you to do." What is he doing on television? Is he collecting money or what? What is he doing? Because I know that the Lord has called me to preach the gospel. That's work. And not only that, to pastor churches all over the world, to tell people that he's coming back. So we need to study verses 3 and 4 of 2 Peter chapter 3. We're reading verse 3. It says, quote, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts."
So this is another sign, amen?
Amen.
Scoffers are here. Okay, keep going.
"And saying, where is the promise of his coming?" Which means that they're saying, "Where is it? He hasn't come yet. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Unquote. So there's a lot of people out in Radio Land that are listening to me, and they're listening to us on television as well, and they listen to us preaching this message from the Lord. And the unsaved people of the world, the scoffers, are going to jot me down or mark me as a fanatic. They'll make fun of the Lord's word and laugh at the word of the Lord and laugh at me for preaching and teaching it. They're going to say, "That's another one of those doomsday preachers. He's no more than another hellfire and brimstone, Bible-thumping ignoramus."
Yeah, that would be me. Okay, then what?
And people are going to talk about those of us that are preaching the gospel because they've always, even in the world in the days of Noah, talked bad about preachers who are bold enough to talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's time up. Time's up. Blow the whistle. Now it's time for you to believe the gospel and receive the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Now the Lord says, everyone, even you, this includes you, that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you'll be saved from this horrible fire that's coming. And you're already a fireball yourself, because you're just made out of atoms. And the atoms are packed out with fire. So say this prayer. I, like Noah, am predicting the doom. And the doom, all the checkpoints are here, as it was in the days of Noah. So let's get ready to meet our Lord. Say this prayer. Our Lord and our God, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God, yourself, raised yourself up from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you. I'm born again of the Spirit now. I've been born of water, but now I'm born again of the Spirit. And I praise and thank you, Lord, for letting me be born again of the Spirit, to become spiritual, to have everlasting life in me. And raise your hands up now and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul, for giving me eternal life, for making me a born of the Spirit Christian. All right, now, I promise you that we would... make sure you write us and let us know that you got saved, you know, because everybody loves to hear this. It encourages the whole church. Now, here's four different ways that you can receive program number 167 or any other programs that you want, the Bible, Messiah book, and literature. And it's all free of charge. Even though you may think it's worthless, it's the most important message on the face of this earth today, because so few are preaching it. But people are being kindled. These new people throughout that are being saved now, they want to get this message out. So don't think that we're not, that it's just me. Everybody, millions of people are doing it now. So here's Sharon to tell you how to get this message. Please specify if you want a tape or a CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow, because it's for you. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.